Someone has said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. So let me ask you this morning, how good is your faith? How good is your faith? In other words, how far in the future does your faith go? Do you trust God for what's going to happen today, but not for what will happen tomorrow? Do you trust God maybe for what will happen tomorrow, but not what's going to happen next week? In fact, do you trust God for what will happen years into the future? Maybe even after you're dead? Well, you notice we read three verses this morning. And all three of these verses are pretty much the same. We have three men who are part of this faith chapter. And these three men had equal faith about an equal event. They all trusted God. They all believed God. They all had faith in God for something that would happen after they died. You know, sometimes it's hard, even today, to not be afraid. Sometimes it's hard when you know what's going to happen this day not to shiver in fear. And certainly we know that the Bible says that we need to deal with today and to trust God for tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. But at the same time, the Bible does say that we need to trust God for tomorrow. So I want you to think about your life. Are you trusting God for tomorrow? In fact, are you even trusting God for what will happen when you have no more tomorrows on this earth? When you're dead and gone? Let's look at these three men. The first example we see here is the example of Isaac. It says in verse 20 that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Now, I want you to notice he was not trusting God for his future, but he was trusting God for his children's future. I have learned something being a parent, that it is much easier to trust God for me than it is to trust God for my kids. It is much easier to trust God for what's going on in my life than what's going on now in my grandchild's life. And I have to learn by faith to be able to trust God for my children, even for what may be happening in their lives long after I'm dead. You know, who are you trusting for your kids? Is it your own strength, or are you trusting in God? And are you believing God for things that may happen long after you're dead? Let's take a look at what happened here. It says that he blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau, in regard to their future. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 27. That is where this story takes place. Genesis chapter 27. You may know this story. Isaac is very old and very weak, and Rebekah and Jacob kind of trick him into doing what they wanted, and his brother gets left out, but Isaac, as he's getting ready to die, turns to his children. And a lot happens around this, but the key that we see in Hebrews 11 is the blessing that he gives to his kids. First part of this blessing is found in verse 27 of Genesis 27. So he says, he went to him and kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. Now, you may not notice it, but right here what we see is the basis of the Abrahamic covenant. And what is happening is Isaac is taking the Abrahamic covenant, which was given to Abraham and then given to him, and now he's passing that down to his son Jacob. He's saying, all the blessings that God gave Abraham and me, I am now giving you. And he is trusting God that this son would get all of these blessings. But there's another son, Esau. Skip down to verse 39 of Genesis 27. His father Isaac answered him, that is, he answered Esau, your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke off, or from off your neck. Now, he says very specific things to two of his sons, Isaac does. And he tells them exactly what would happen in their lives. Believing that what God had told him, he is now passing down onto his children. Remember, faith takes God at his word. Faith trusts God that what God said, God will do. Now he is trusting God for his children, that God would do the exact things that he blesses his children and believes God's going to do in their life. He's trusting God for the future of his children. He's trusting God for what will happen after he dies. Understand this. Having faith for what happens beyond death, having faith for what happens beyond our death, has value for you and I today. Let's look at the second guy. Turn back to Hebrews 11. The second one is the example of Jacob. Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. So now Jacob turns around and he takes his children, it actually would be his grandchildren, his son Joseph's children, and he then blesses them. By faith. So hold your finger here in Hebrews 11. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 48. And let's look at the story. We don't have time to go into detail, but we can at least look at the blessing that is given. Genesis chapter 48. Beginning in verse 3, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. Now, Luz is later named Bethel. So he's saying, God appeared to me when I was in Bethel, and God said some things to him about what would happen after he died. This was many years before the events of Genesis chapter 48. So he takes what God had said to him in Bethel, and he's now trusting God for that very thing in relationship to his grandchildren. Skip down with me, down to verse 15. Then he, that is Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel has delivered me from all harm. May he bless these boys, that is, the children of Joseph. May they be called by my name, that is, Israelites, in the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they greatly increase upon the earth. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased, and so he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. In those days, the blessing of the father would be given to the firstborn son. And Jacob was putting his hand on the wrong son because he was old, he could barely see. So Joseph tries to correct him, saying, no, my father, do this boy. But notice verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants would become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, in your name, Israel, pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and will take you back to the land of your fathers. And he blessed them. The secondborn receives the blessing that the firstborn normally would get. Why did he do that? Because God appeared to him in Bethel at the point we read, it was called Luz, but God appeared to him and told him exactly who should get the blessing. So think about it for 1 second. God appears to the grandfather and says to him, your grandchildren, two of them, are going to be switched so that the normal blessing that would go to the older is going to go to the younger. And what would normally go to the younger is going to go to the older. Many years later, when he has that opportunity to bless his children, he does exactly what God told him to do. And he blesses them according to what God had told him. And he tells to his grandchildren and his grandchild, Joseph, exactly what would happen in their lives years after he would be dead. He had faith that reached beyond his death. Let me say it again. Having faith for what happens beyond our death has value for both you and I today. Let's look at the third one. Go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. So now he's not blessing his children, but he's still talking about what would happen after he died. And notice he said, after he died, the Israelites would leave Egypt. And then he gave instructions about his bones. Turn with me again to this story, to Genesis, this time Genesis chapter 50. I want us to see just a couple of verses where this happens. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years. And he saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were placed at birth at Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die. But God will surely come to your aid and will take you out of the land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. And here's what I want you to see. It had been roughly 200 years since God first made the promise to Abraham that the Israelites would have their own land. When Joseph speaks here to his children and those who would go beyond him, it would be 365 years before the events that Joseph is talking about actually take place. So the time frame we have here is almost 600 years. From the time first God promised to the time that God actually fulfills his word. And Joseph believed the promise of God. He trusted the word of God for something that would happen well beyond his death. So let me say it again. Having faith for that which takes place beyond our death has value for you and I today. Let me bring it all together. What value does it have? Let me give you a couple of quick things. that we need to trust God for that are things that happen after we die that will help us today if we trust God for that thing. Number one, it removes fear of death. If you have faith for what God says after you are dead, it removes fear of death. What does the Bible say will happen to the Christian after they die? John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a home for you. And basically he says, you know, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to that home. And you'd say, talk to the average person today and you ask them, what? If you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? The average person would say, I don't know. I hope so. Maybe. But the average person is absolutely scared to death of what will happen when they die. I want you to know, if you have faith in God, if you are trusting God that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross to take you to heaven, it removes the fear of death. You no longer have to be afraid about dying. Now, I'm not saying that you're stepping back and you're saying, well, I'm not afraid of dying of cancer, or I'm not afraid of drowning, or I'm not afraid of this or that disease. No, I'm talking about not being afraid of what will happen after you die. You have no fear of that. Why? Because you are trusting God for what will happen after you die, just like these three men did. Let me give you a second one. Not only does it remove the fear of death, but it gives us strength for the journey. It gives us strength for the journey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was talking about all the troubles he was going through. And I want you to know, no matter what you're going through in your life, somebody's got it worse. Somebody has it worse than you. Connie and I the other day were watching a program on TV. It was a medical show about these people who had a disease, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I've seen some really bad things, but this is the worst, and I want you to know, no matter what you're going through physically in your life, it is not as bad as this program we watched. But if you are a Christian, the Bible tells us that everything we're going through in our life does not compare to all the blessing that we're going to have in heaven. Paul said, as I'm facing all the troubles of this world, my life is being renewed each and every day. My life is being renewed, and I'm focusing on Jesus Christ. And no matter how difficult things are here, it gives me the strength not to give up. You know, life is sometimes hard, but I want you to know, if you are trusting God for your future, it will give you strength for the journey. And you'll be able to deal with it, not give up. Let me give you a third one. It gives you a desire to please God. It gives you a desire to please God. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, that one day every single Christian is going to stand before Jesus Christ and we are going to be judged. Do you believe that? If you do, Paul said, look, because I know that, I seek each and every day to please God. You know, a lot of people talk about what's going to happen after they die. A lot of Christians talk about the fact of the judgment and things like that. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe that one day you'll stand before Jesus and he will judge what you've done? From the moment you have received Christ your Savior to the moment that you die, God's going to look at all that stuff and he's going to ask, has this child of mine been faithful? If you really believe that, it will cause you to want to please Christ. It will cause you to make sure that your life is doing what God wants it to do and you're living the way that God wants you to live. Let me give you one last one. If you have faith like these three men, and you are trusting, you are believing that what God has said of things that will happen long after you are dead, if you have that kind of faith, it will motivate you to witness for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that those who reject Christ, those who have not come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, they will spend an eternity in hell. You know that family member that you know that makes fun of you or rejects what you believe, that you love? You know that friend that you really care about but does not know Jesus Christ? You know those coworkers, people you meet as you walk along life's path? All of those who reject Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in hell. If you really have faith for what will happen beyond your death, then you will believe that what God says about those who reject Christ will happen. And the reality of hell will be very true in your life, and it will motivate you to tell others about Jesus Christ. So let me say it again. It removes the fear of death. It gives strength for the journey. It gives a desire, creates a desire to please God, and it motivates witnessing. If these things are not true of you, then do you really have faith in God? Are you really trusting God with your life, with your children's life, with your descendants' life, with those you love and care about? Three men mentioned in three verses. Very little said about them, except for the fact they believe and trust in God for things that will happen well beyond their death. The Bible says if we have that kind of faith, it will change the way you and I live. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that our faith is real. I pray, Lord, like the three men we've read about who trusted you, who believed your word for things that happened well beyond their last breath. I pray, Lord, that we would follow their example. I pray, Father, that we would trust you and really truly believe you for what you say will happen when we die. And because it is true, Father, I pray that we would please you with our lives. We would tell others about what your Son has done for them. We would find that strength in you to live this life. Father, help us. Help us to believe you. Help our belief not to be merely words, but to be reality that causes a change in our life. For we pray in Jesus, his precious and holy name. Amen.